Listen, bitch, nobody's going to tell you this to your face, so I will, of course. The food industry does not want you well. Big Pharma does not want you well. A sick, foggy, inflamed, tired, emotionally dysregulated person is not a problem to them. Bitch, you're a customer. And the cruelest part of the whole system is that it is designed to feel like it's your fault. Like, if you just had more discipline or more willpower or more self-control, you wouldn't keep reaching for the thing that's destroying you. But you're not weak and you're not broken. You are fighting a multi-billion dollar industry that has spent decades engineering food to override your biology. And you've been doing it while people-pleasing your way through every social situation that makes it harder for you to say no. And that is what today's episode is about. What you're eating, why you keep eating it even when you know better, and what it's actually costing you, not just in your body, but in your clarity, in your calling, in your ability to show up for the life God put you here to live. Okay. Welcome back, you guys. It's a new season on the Listen Bitch podcast. We are in rebellion season. And I would say this is probably episode two of when I decided to launch the rebellion. Thanks for your patience yesterday. I had a lot of Wi-Fi trouble, which is why you're getting a Friday episode. The wind is crazy here in Michigan, so I just am rolling with it. When I have Wi-Fi, I go crazy. When I don't, I also go crazy. I am Brandon Lynette, in case you're new here. I help people, especially the ones who think differently, who feel everything deeply and have been told their whole lives that they're too much, help them step into their actual potential by taking radical responsibility for their lives with God. Not around him, not instead of him, but with him. Last episode, I talked about the one thing that you can be grounded in when everything feels shaky, and that is truth. Truth lived out in responsibility. If you haven't heard it, please go back. This episode is just building on that one, okay? And today I'm going somewhere that's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, and I'm completely fine with that. Just talking about your body, what you're putting in it, why the system is designed to keep you sick, and the very human, very real reason most people know what they should do and still don't do it. And the last part is where the people-pleasing wound really lives. And I want to name that directly. I'm still looking for sponsors this season, brands that align with health and sovereignty and truth and ethics. And if that's you, reach out. You guys know where to find me, brandonlynette.com. So let's get into this today. The system is not broken. Listen, bitch, it's working exactly as designed. And I feel like this is the part that we should start at because people dance around it. And I don't really want to, but the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry are not two separate systems accidentally failing you at the same time. You understand they are a pipeline. One creates the conditions for illness with processed food, seed oils. Have I told you guys that we're eating humans in fast food joints? And I'm not joking. Like, I'm being dead serious. But then you add the chemical additives, the dyes, the preservatives. In just everything in the food, hormone disruptors, ingredients that are illegal in dozens of other countries, but perfectly legal on your grocery store shelf. And the other is going to sell you the management plan. Bitch, I did not say cure, okay? Because they'll never sell the cure. I'm saying the management plan because a cured patient is a lost customer, and a managed one, it's an income revenue stream. Healthcare in this day and age in the United States of America is a business. And this is not a tinfoil hat podcast. This is not conspiracy theory 101. This is a business model, and it works because it's invisible. It hides in the normalcy of the drive-through line that stretches around the block, and the fact that the cheapest food at the gas station is the food most engineered to make you kind of come back for more. Okay. In the cultural agreement that eating garbage is just what busy people do. It hides in plain sight because everyone is doing it. And when everyone is doing something, questioning it feels crazy. But this is what's actually crazy, that we've accepted a version of normal where half the population is on medication for conditions that are directly linked to what they eat, where childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes in teenagers is treated as inevitable rather than manufactured, where doctors have 17 minutes to see you and a prescription pad ready before you finish describing your symptoms. That is not healthcare. That is symptom management for a sick population that was made sick on purpose and kept sick for profit. Your brain fog is not just stress. Your inflammation is not just aging, your mood swings, your energy crashes, your inability to focus, your anxiety that never fully goes away. These are not character flaws. They are, in many cases, the predictable biological response to a body that is running on a fuel that it was never designed to use. You guys, what happens if you put diesel inside a car that takes gas? What happens? What do you think is going to happen to your body when we're putting in all this shit that it's not created to handle? And the system profits from you not knowing this. It profits from you thinking you just need a better prescription or a better diagnosis or a better coping mechanism, anything except the simple, devastating truth that what you're eating is making you sick. What you're eating is keeping you foggy, and it's making you significantly easier to manage. Dysregulated, inflamed, exhausted person does not have the bandwidth to question authority. You do not have the energy to build something of your own. You do not have the clarity to hear what God is saying. Most people are just trying to get through the day, and that's exactly where the system wants you. And your brain on bad fuel, okay? This is where my favorite topic of neuroplasticity comes back in because your brain and your gut are having a conversation you probably don't know about. The gut-brain axis is real. About 90% of your serotonin, and that's the neurotransmitter most associated with like your mood regulation, like calm and emotional stability, all of that's produced in your gut, not your brain, which means the state of your gut is directly measurably connected to your mental health. You feed it processed foods, synthetic dyes, inflammatory oils, and chemical preservatives, and you're not just affecting your waistline. You're altering your neurochemistry. You're making it harder to regulate your emotions. You're making your anxiety worse. You're making it harder to focus, harder to feel settled, harder to make decisions from a place of clarity instead of reactivity. And for brains that are already wired to feel things more intense, which I speak to that because that's my brain and it's what I know, to, we're prone to hyperfocus or scatter. We run hotter than the average person, and that impact is amplified. Bad food doesn't just make you tired, it makes the static louder. It makes that emotional dysregulation harder to manage it. It makes the gap between who you know you're capable of being and who you're actually showing up as feel even wider. Because your brain is trying to do extraordinary things on a foundation of garbage, and it's fighting the biology every single step of the way. Your brain is always wiring towards what you practice, what you focus on, what your thoughts are, but it's also always running on what you feed it. And you cannot think your way out of a biochemical problem. You can have every mindset shift in the world. You can journal, you can pray, you can meditate, you could podcast your way through every personal development concept that is available to man, and your body will still be fighting you. If you're feeding it things designed to make it malfunction, clarity is not just a spiritual discipline. It is also practically and literally a nutritional one. And that wound I was talking about earlier, this is the thing. Most people listening to this already know something is off with what they're eating. Like most of you know that. You've read the articles. You've watched the documentaries. You've self-diagnosed on all the bullshit TikTok algorithms that are going to take advantage of you using fancy words like premenopause, perimenopause, like all these things just to sell you another bullshit product, okay? They've had you've had that moment of clarity in the grocery store where you flip a label over and you feel sick looking at the ingredients list. It's like you already know. So the question is, like, yes, bitch, we already know. Why aren't we changing? Some of it is just a brain barrier, okay? It's a bullshit wall because you've been manipulated, you've been conned, okay? A lot of people are like, we just don't have access, it's more expensive. Bitch, listen to me, okay? I'm the best at a budget in my house, and we eat really good. Like, we eat good. And I'm talking like, I sent my husband chicken and sweet potato today. It is accessible. Basic real food is accessible. And the idea that it's expensive is bullshit because what I can make out of, a bag of sweet potatoes and two rotisserie chickens, that is not even a third of what I would spend at the fast food lane trying to buy shit. And I've got real food, real meals. Okay. So It's those excuses. And then there's other people that the barrier is something quieter and it's more personal than that. And I'm going to say it's that people-pleasing wound. It shows up when your family orders pizza and you don't want to be the difficult one, right? Or when you're at a work event and the only options are processed garbage, but saying something feels like you're making a scene. Or, when your partner eats a certain way and changing what you eat feels like a statement, a disruption, a rejection. I literally, at this point, just my husband eats exactly what I eat. It just keeps it so simple. When someone offers you something and saying no feels rude or you feel ungrateful, maybe it feels like you're being high maintenance. And so you eat the thing and then you feel terrible and then you resent yourself a little and then you do it again next week. Like that people pleasing wound is the belief usually installed pretty early, usually by someone who, needed you to be easy, that your needs are a burden, that managing other people's comfort is your job. I know for me, for the first time in my life, I'm done with the yo-yo dieting rubber band, depending on all the products. This has been a God journey for me, and everything that's turning around for me with the biohacking that I'm doing, with my relationship with Christ, all of that, I've recognized some parts in my life when I would be dieting, right? And my kid would be like, "Mom, just have the cake." And like I would feel bad. I didn't want them to feel bad. And I would also hide the shame of like, "Oh, she's dieting again." So I would just eat the cake, right? I just had a birthday. My son brought cake and I was super happy to take a bite. I took a couple bites of the cake and I was super happy to say no. It didn't make me feel bad. I didn't feel like I have to eat the whole thing because he went and he bought this with his own money, out of respect. Healing those things matters, and how other people make you feel in these spaces, it matters that you're protecting your boundaries. Keeping your peace is more important than keeping your word to yourself. And it's one of the most insidious ways this thing works because it means that the system doesn't even have to force you. You do it yourself voluntarily in the name of being likable. And this people-pleasing wound doesn't just affect what you eat. It affects what you say and what you build and who you've let in and what you tolerate. But it shows up in food because food is social and food is constant and food is the place where saying no to what everyone else is doing is somehow coded as antisocial behavior, much like not drinking. But the same people who would never pressure you to pick up smoking will absolutely give you grief for not eating the birthday cake, right? And the people that don't care if you aren't eating the cake but are like, just take the shot of liquor, right? But you've been trained to prioritize other people's comfort over your health. And you eat the cake and you drink the liquor and you hate yourself a little and the wound gets a little deeper. This is what I want you to hear today. Choosing your health is not selfish. It is not rude. It is not an inconvenience that people have to get, that people even deserve an opinion about. Taking care of your body, the one that God gave you, and that has what has been the biggest shift for me. Okay. And I'm sharing health products with people. If you guys follow me on Facebook, I have actually got a health group and I'm sharing this company that I've paired with. I've been with them for quite some time now, but I absolutely love them because they're not trying to sell you bullshit. We back our stuff with blood tests and it's extensive. Like the work they're doing is incredible. And it is about, not only just pairing with them, but giving this to God, to remind myself, like, God gave me this body. And I'm getting my voice and I'm stepping into this light and I'm willing to be an advocate for him. I want people to come to Jesus. And if I am representing him in a body that people can apparently see is not taken care of, then I'm not doing him justice. That's personal for me. Like, Jesus paid for this body, he paid for this body so I could carry that calling. So it's not optional anymore for self-indulgence. And for the first time in my life, you guys, I don't care about food. It's fuel. Like it's literally fuel. And I think I've said that robotically. I've said that when I've promoted weight loss products, right? Like here and there, I'm like, food is fuel, you guys. Just eat whatever. But like this is genuinely now encoded in my DNA. It is so hardcore. I know that it's over for me. Food doesn't rule my life anymore. The thoughts are gone. The obsession about it, all of it is gone because I have such a bigger goal to steward. I have such a higher calling. I don't even have the time or the luxury to be worrying about what's on my plate. Get the protein, get the fuel, and move on with your day. That's it. It is your calling. It is your calling. It is that stewardship. And every time you're sacrificing it to manage someone else's feelings, you're practicing the belief that you don't matter as much as their momentary their comfort, discomfort, whatever you'd want to call it at that time. And your brain starts to wire towards what you practice. So if you've done that forever, it's a little hard to flip the switch here. But it's very possible and doable, and you can do it. And the rebellion here is learning to let people be mildly inconvenienced by your choices, okay? Without it destroying you. And that's it. Like, that's the whole thing. You don't have to be rude about it. Nope, make it a lecture. No one needs to hear. Just be able to say no, one word sentence. Bring your own food. Ask what's in something. Choose different. And no, you don't need everyone in the room to be okay with what you do. And this is going to show up in those moments in the drive-thru at 6 p.m. when you're depleted and dinner feels impossible and the chicken nuggets are right there and easy and the kids are screaming and you just need one thing to be simple. I get it, but you're handing shit to the government and I'm not okay with that. You're not even eating real meat, okay? You guys think I'm joking about the people thing. I'm not. They're putting humans in our food. That moment is real when you're stressed out. The kids are screaming. I get that. But that moment is also the one the food industry engineered specifically to own you. Intentionally, this has been done to manipulate you. Fuck those people. And it's been happening every single day for years. And the cumulative cost is your clarity, your energy, and your health. And the shit's going to show up when you finally try and eat better. And someone in your life, whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker starts to subtly or not so subtly make shit weird, making jokes about it, making comments, asking if you're okay. Not because they're really fucking concerned, because they don't care about you, but because your change is on an indictment of their choices and they would rather you come back down to their level than feel challenged to rise. This is why the people closest to you tear you down and not lift you up because you're making them question their shit. Nobody wants to question their shit. And what separates you from everybody else is, bitch, you're listening to this podcast because you know you're called. And because you're wired to keep the peace, like you consider everybody else's shit. You do. You start to wobble and you're going to tell yourself, maybe I'm being a little extreme. No. And it's going to show up in the doctor's office, okay? A place where, listen, there's a place for the medical field, right? If my kid breaks their arm, we're going to the hospital, okay? But for our everyday health, that is not their job. It is not their job. My kid needs stitches. We're going to the doctor. Emergency room, hands down. I've had 6 C-sections, you guys. Bless the surgeon's hands, okay? Every single time, there's a place for doctors, but not when it comes to stewarding your health. Because that doctor's office, when you describe your symptoms and you walk out with 4 prescriptions instead of a conversation about food, or sleep, or sunshine, or inflammation, or omega balance, or root cause. When the solution offered is always a pill, and this makes me so, listen, when I first signed with my company, you guys, I read all this information, and I'm like, why is no one talking about this? I see a lot of viral shit out there, right? Like these little fancy drinks and all these things. Like, how is what we represent not viral? Like, how are doctors not telling everybody about what I know? And it's because it cures so many of the bullshit ailments you have between your gut and your brain and your heart that doctors can't make money if they tell you about this balance. So I'm telling you about the balance. And if you want to know about the balance, you guys go to brandonlynette.com, sign up for emails. Or if you already get my emails, just reply. You could pick any damn email I write. Just reply balance and I'll give you the information. But you're going to walk out of that doctor's office with a prescription instead of a real conversation about what this is. And you've got all these pills that are going to manage symptoms and then also manage side effects and then the pill to manage the side effects. Rather than really question what's creating the issues in your body. And because doctors are authority figures, we have been taught to defer to authority. You think because it's a doctor, they know better. I cannot tell you how many times in my life that doctors did not know better than me. But you're going to trust them and you're going to take the prescription and you're going to come back in 3 months and then the cycle is going to continue and it just doesn't fucking stop. Babe, I cannot tell you. Like, you cannot fulfill a calling from a body that is on fire. You cannot hear God clearly through a brain that's running on inflammatory seed oils and synthetic dyes, or a gut microbiome that's been carpet bombed by processed food. You cannot build wealth. You cannot serve people well. You cannot raise your kids with presence or show up for the relationships that matter when you are chronically depleted and medicated into management. And this is not a perfect journey. It's not even about being perfect. It's not about food guilt or becoming someone who makes everyone around them miserable at restaurants, okay? It's about just understanding that your body is the physical instrument through which your calling is expressed. This body is going to be what represents my relationship with Christ and what re represents my voice that is speaking truth. An instrument that is not maintained will not play in tune, no matter how talented the musician is. So you can have all the gifts, you can have all the vision, all the God-given potential in the world, and if your body's inflamed, foggy, exhausted, it will cap what you're able to do with any of it. And it's also going to affect how serious people take you. And that's why I want this rebellion to be taken seriously. Not because a wellness influencer told you to, because you understand stewardship, because you know that the version of you God designed is meant to operate fully, not at 30% capacity, while the food industry profits from your decline and the pharmaceutical industry manages the symptoms. And then everybody else is just going to try to line their pockets with bullshit. So, how do we start this? One thing at a time. And it's the same rule as last episode, okay? Just one thing at a time. Like, start by reading one label today. And not to shame yourself, not to overhaul everything at once. I mean, bitch, I still use protein powder. Not the greatest thing, right? But I am trying to make compromise in my life where I can. I need the protein. I'm gonna have to sacrifice a little bit of shit to be able to hit those goals right now. I don't want you overhauling everything at once, and nothing has to be perfect. I'm saying just pick one thing that you eat regularly and actually read what's in it. And then I want you to look up anything you can't pronounce. Like, just look it up. Go to Google really fast. Let yourself know what you're putting in your body. Awareness before action. Your brain cannot make different decisions about information it doesn't have. If that feels manageable, okay. The next step is crowding out rather than cutting out. Instead of focusing on removing things, because that's going to trigger your deprivation and the bad rebellion in a brain that already has a complicated relationship with rules. I'm a rebel. If I tell myself I can't have sugar, the first thing I'm going to do is go eat a fuck ton of sugar. Okay? Start adding real food, like one real meal. And this is really what worked for me. You know, one piece of fruit instead of the processed snack, or one glass of water before you drink the coffee. You are not fixing everything at once. You just want to build a new normal with one brick at a time, because that's how the brain actually changes. Not in a sweeping overhaul that lasts 4 days, but like small, consistent practices that compound into a different life. And the next time someone makes it weird that you're trying to take care of yourself, the next time you feel the people pleasing pull to just eat the thing and keep the peace, I want you to notice it. Like, don't fight it. Don't white knuckle it. Just notice it and say to yourself, like, this is the wound talking. This is the part of me that learned my needs were less important than someone else's comfort. And that part of me is not in charge anymore. That noticing is the beginning of the rewire. And bitch, that is our rebellion. Okay. So listen, we're two episodes in, me and you. We're doing this thing and you're here. I appreciate you. I'm not going to slow down. So, if this one got something, you know, got into something real for you, if you felt this, if you recognize yourself somewhere in this episode, please don't just let that feeling sit there and fade. Do something with it. Like the show, subscribe, leave a written review. I mean it. It matters more than people realize. And it takes like less than 2 minutes. Okay. And that review is how someone else who needs this finds it. Head to brandonlinette.com and get into everything I'm building this season. Subscribe to my YouTube. I'm still trying to build up that little guy over there. You can watch the live full video version of this episode because I guess I just feel like the visual version hits a little different and I want you to see that energy. Listen, bitch, your body is not a liability. It is not a thing to be managed, medicated, or maintained at baseline. It is the vessel for everything that you're here to do. So I want you to treat it like it matters because it does. And so do you. And this is Listen, Bitch, the Rebellion Season. I love you.